Now in the 60s and 70s, they were still young then. And that's the first time they went to Taiwan, and so they spent an afternoon going out shopping and got souvenirs so that they can bring home and show their spouse or so forth. And then they came back and they were singing this song, and it was just burning, burning. And they got so stirred up in their spirit. So before dinner time, they all went up to the roof of the building. And then they set a bonfire and threw all the souvenir into the bonfire. And then they came back to the meeting, and then they were burning. They were really, really burning. I remember them singing. And it was a deep impression. It was like the four living creatures burning with the... And then since then, we can definitely say that the wheel of God's move was turning, and in this country, and then eventually all over the world. And then, since that time, there were a number more burnings in this country. And I thought it only happens in the East West Coast. But I heard that it happens here in the East Coast too. So that burning that happened in 1968 was the initiation that brought about more burnings. And I hope the burning this weekend will initiate into more burnings in the coming days, not just in New York, but in other places too. So... tonight is the last meeting, and we only have 2 hours and 50 minutes is gone. So I want to spend maybe 15 to 20 minutes or half an hour first to make up what I did not share with you in the fourth message, which is Saturday night. And you remember we were talking about this age being the age of intensification. And I prepared the PowerPoint, but I only got through half of it, and then I got carried away, and so we didn't finish it. So first, I want to spend some time to show you the PowerPoint and then finish that burden. And then we'll come to the burden tonight, which I hope I can finish that within an hour. And then we'll have, say, like half an hour to 15 minutes for you to respond, either to tonight's message or to the whole weekend. How's that?
Amen.
Good. Now, we have less people here tonight, but we still have quite a number of people online. And for those who are online, welcome to join the meeting. Now, let's go to message four. And I would like the brothers to turn to the 11th frame. It's about the alternative worlds. And we said this was a report. That one. And we said that there was a report. Before I forget about it, you know, this song that was so instrumental 50 years ago almost was never translated, amazingly, for all close to 50 years. But the Chinese saints, they know it very well. And every time they get filled with the Spirit and they felt like they wanted to move with the God's move, then they sang it. But I'm sorry, the English-speaking ones were deprived of this wonderful song. So I'm glad that we're singing this, and you are singing this for the first time before everybody else does. Okay. So the next frame after that, we talk about the four mega trends. And sorry, those four mega trends, I only had it in Chinese, but they're translated from that original report, the alternate worlds. And what I want to point out tonight, especially, it talks about other things like climate change and economy and all those. But what I want to talk about tonight is number three, the change in demographics in human population. And it mentions three things. Number one is aging. Number two is urbanization. That means city gets bigger and bigger. And then number three is the phenomenon of mass migration. And you remember last Saturday, I share about the mass migration that is going on in the Middle East and Europe. And so if you look at the next slide, this quote is taken from that report that says that these trends, those four mega trends, which are virtually certain, and for sure, that report came out in 2012, and it was a lot of them were fulfilled, exist today, but during the next 15 to 20 years, they will gain much greater momentum, producing a qualitative different world. So I'm talking about 30 years from now, and it will be a very different world from today, and that will be the world of your generation. It won't be the world of my generation. So the Lord has to raise up the intensified ones to meet that change. Now, the next one is one of the phrases that caught me was it talks about a Teutonic shift. You know that they talk about geology, the big land shift from one continent to another. Well, there's a Teutonic shift, not in geography, but human demographics. And you see it with your own eyes in the newspaper today, every day, that this 1,000 people are getting out of the Middle East into Europe. It's no small thing. So that's a Teutonic shift. Now then, next frame, it says the world tomorrow. So the world of 2030 will be radically transformed from our world today. By 2030, no country will be a hegemonic power. So it won't be one country domination. So the Teutonic shift is critical changes to key features of our global environment that will affect how our world works. The world could be transformed in radically different ways. We are heading into uncharted waters. Major powers are at odds. You see that today now. the potential for conflicts rises, more countries fail, the world is reasonably wealthy, but it is less secure as the dark side of globalization poses an increasing challenge in domestic and international politics. It's like this is a prophecy. This was written, it was a scientific report, 2012. So the next one, the world tomorrow, and then there's all kinds of people that write about what happened with the world be tomorrow, and I just quote a few writers, Ian Bremmer, G0, you know, you have the G2, G4, G20, then it talks about the G0 world, where, you know, there'll be no one country. And then Al Gore, which was the vice president to Bill Clinton, he wrote this book called Earth, Inc., Global Mind. So you have, instead of just being locked in one place, you have to, it's world citizen. Then George Freeman, I think he's a writer of the New York Times, and he has a book called Crisis World. Then another, Ian Bremmer, that talks about China rising up. Okay, then the next one. What is the next one? Oh, the next one is taken from Brother Lee's book, The World Situation and the Direction of the Lord's Move. And I told you that that is actually an updated version of his first book in 1981 on the world situation and God's move. And he said in that book, the world is changing, so we need to sense his present move. And then he has point one, a quote from Acts that says, God out of one produce many, and decide and define their boundaries and the length of time that they should live. And so the point is that everything is under God's sovereign hand. And I like what Benjamin shared the other day, that our Christ today is on the throne. He is not going to the throne, he is on the throne today. So number two says, what God is accomplishing in the environment is for the fulfillment of his economy. So you have to interpret it in that kind of way, what is happening in China in the last 30 years, what is happening in the Middle East in the last 3 years, what is happening in America, what is happening everywhere, is God's accomplishment in the environment for the accomplishing of his economy. Now, a year ago, 2 years ago, I said in the Old Testament life studies, Brother Lee said, you know, you have four timetables. There's one timetable, which is the world situation. There's another timetable, which is Israel, the history of Israel. There's another timetable, which is the history of Christ. And then you have another timetable, which is what is happening to the church and how the church is getting ready. And if you look at the world situation, that is lining up towards midnight. If you look at the situation in Israel, that is lining up towards midnight. If you look at the situation of Christ and how he is moving, it's like moving faster and faster. You know, there's a song that says his footsteps is getting nearer and nearer. So as you get closer to the Niagara Fall, the water gets faster and faster. And so the footstep of the Lord is getting faster and faster. And then the last one is, of course, the church, that the Lord is hastening his work to produce the overcomers, which will bring in the bride. Now, there's one very interesting article in New York Times that says that we cannot understand, we do not have the master key to the world situation. But it seems like the middle, the minute hand and the second hand and the hour hand are starting to line up towards midnight. And it's an article written not by a Christian. It's a secular article. And I look at that, I said, I know what that means. You know, all these things are lining up just so that the Lord is going to come back. So what the third point is, what is the suitable environment? So Brother Lee talked about when the Lord Jesus came, there was a suitable environment. So what is the present day suitable environment? Then he talks about break it down into analysis of languages, how language is breaking down. Control, boundary control is breaking down. Road is building, just like 2,000 years ago, the Roman roads. Now it's the internet roads. Then law, you know, international law, it's becoming, if you don't speak international language, if you don't know international law, it's almost like you can't survive versus 100 years ago. You don't even know what's happening on the other side of the hill. You know, you just take care of your own little farm. So, and then the last one is travel. He said there's going to be an unlimited explosion of traveling. And you know what is happening in the last 100 years and then 50 years. You things from China know that 100 years ago, nobody ever dreamed that you can just travel from here to there just with it so fast. And even all these boundaries in the that is man-made is just going away one by one, one by one. I think 30 years ago for those people in China to come up in here, it's almost like it's more difficult than you know going. They say more difficult than going up to heaven. But today, you know, those students that come to our campuses, Thanksgiving holiday is just one long weekend, and they fly home. And when I came to this country, I packed my bag, and everything is there. It's almost like end of the world. We're never going to go back. It's like Abraham leaving his home country. And I'm not kidding you. We even have the barber's kit, and so that because when we go, we have to take care of our own haircut and you know, everything. It's like now, you know, people they go overseas, they don't even think twice. Well, I forgot my cell phone, so I buy a plane ticket. I go back and pick up my cell phone and come back. You get the point. So traveling is just is mushrooming, and the mushrooming of traveling is for a reason. It's towards the coming of the Lord. And then point number four is the opposition of Satan. And the opposition of Satan comes from two fronts. One is persecution. You know, the Lord's recovery has been on earth 90 years. There's never a kind of persecution. I don't think there are too many groups that have been persecuted like we have been persecuted. So that's from the world. And then there's persecution from religion. So religious persecution, political persecution, and it's rising up, and it's just a sign of the Lord's soon coming. And then there's a history of the recovery, and I'm not going to go into that. I'm just briefly trying to catch up. Then next frame, those are Brother Lee's phrases. He said the ultimate move, and the next one is the ultimate recovery, and then the third one is the ultimate situation of the world, and then the fourth is our ultimate responsibility. So these four things that are ultimate, the ultimate move of God in this age, the ultimate recovery of God, the ultimate situation of the world, and then our ultimate responsibility. And you consider about that in the light of what happened today. Now, then the next frame, an update, if Brother Lee is here today, if he is alive, what is he going to, what will he think? I think he will have an update too on what he wrote in 1991. You know, 1991, he said, well, the situation in the whole Gulf was changed. And so as such, that changed, he just really felt moved. But if he sees the situation in the world today, I'm sure he will have an update to the update on the world situation, the situation in the different big regions of the world, and which are the important areas of the world, and how to propagate the Lord's recovery today. Now, all these are global questions, mega questions. You know, world leaders every year, they have a conference in Davos, Switzerland, and they talk about the world situation, but they don't know what they're talking about. You know, what we're talking about here is in the president's boardroom, the president of the universe. And this is what, you know, we as the next generation, as this generation, as the now generation, we have to think about it. And the brotherly said from his youth, he considered the world situation not for the sake of the world situation. He could have been a great world leader, but as he considered it, then he realized what the direction of the Lord's move is. And of course, the latest thing that is happening is this shift of the Arabic-speaking people. They comprise the third biggest group in humanity. And the Lord is, I don't know how the Lord is going to open up that situation. But on last Saturday night, I opened up this matter, I said, with application here. And number one, how do we face this situation of mass migration with so many people from so many different parts of the world? And how do we deal with the situation of new immigrants? Then even more specifically, here in New York, and New York City, starting from New Amsterdam, has been an immigrant place. And you know, you have the Statue of Liberty. All your sons and daughters come to my embrace. You know, all the sons and daughters that are refugees, they make up New York City. So New York City, it's a little cosmos of the whole world. And so while we're doing it, standing here as the testimony of the Lord, what are we doing? Are we just for our little community, or are we just for our little, worse still, our own little family life? We have to consider. Or are we here to be part of the Lord's move? And I said last Saturday, I said, I anticipate, and I don't think I'm dreaming, that in the coming 10 years, you will have 10 different languages mushrooming. And the Italian, the Polish, the Irish, the Mexican, and particularly the Mexican language, the Spanish language, the Chinese language, the Korean languages. And they'll all be part of the church in New York. Amen. Wouldn't that be wonderful?
Amen.
Wouldn't that be wonderful?
Yes.
So when the whole church come together, it will not be a four translation booth. It will be a 14 translation booth. But when we break up, then we're in different districts, and then you have Korean districts in Queens, and Vietnamese districts in Queens. And you know, last night there was no meeting, and so Brother Peter took me to Chinatown, because he said, oh, you enjoy it. And I ended up enjoying what he enjoyed. But we walk one block, and we're among the Koreans. And it's not only among old generation Koreans. I felt like I'm walking in Seoul, Korea. All the young a very hip generation, young Koreans, and in this French bakery, pastry place. And I sat there, I said, I couldn't believe this. This is just like, you can walk within 10 minutes, you can walk from one part of the world to another part of the world, all within this cosmopolitan area. And so what is that? What is that? That's the Lord's provision.
Amen.
And 100 years ago, we could never, can your brother, your ancestor in Colombia, would he ever imagine that one of his grandson would be in New York City? Maybe all he could see was that maybe my grandson would buy a little plot more farming on the other side of the hill, and that was all. Who brought you here? Who brought all these people here? It has to be the Lord. So you have to realize that. And so next frame. No, you don't need this one. Next frame, before that. History has repeatedly, demonstrated the power of migration. So migration is not a force to be pushed back. You know, Al Gore, he's from the Chinese. He said the Chinese, the word crisis is danger plus opportunity. So all of you Chinese know, wei is danger, ji is jihui, opportunity. So I don't believe Al Gore understands Chinese, but he probably heard it from the Chinese. He said the Chinese have saying a crisis is danger on the one side, but opportunity on the other. And so it's the migration. And so you can see, wow, all these hundreds of thousands of people in the Arabic-speaking world now going into Europe. And it's not just the biggest human population shift since the Second World War. Now they're saying that it's the biggest human population shift ever in human history. And so on the one hand, it's everybody knows all those problems that will be accompanying it. On the other hand, that's opportunity. Opportunity for what? Opportunity for the gospel. So you see all these people coming into this country. You see the Spanish people, you know, getting higher and higher and higher. And then Donald Trump gets so worried he's going to kick them all out. And I'm going to tell you, there are going to be more and more coming. And then it's not a danger, it's an opportunity.
Amen.
And already the Catholic have seized the opportunity to fill them all into their Catholic churches. What about the Lord's recovery? We need to take advantage of all these opportunities. And the migration is likely to become more globalized. It's almost like he's talking about today. And this is a 2012 report. As demand for both skilled and unskilled labor soar, why did Germany absorb so many people? They want unskilled labor. Okay, next one. More short-term movement occur. What is short-term movement? Traveling, international traveling, tourism. That's short-term movement occur in addition to permanent migration. More people will have their feet in more than one country. So you have these migration birds, and one season they're in this country, and the next season they're back in China. And that's going to happen more and more. That's what it says. Greater information flows, everybody knows. The internet is flowing more and more information, will enable more people to become aware of job opportunities. IT revolution ensures greater linkages to friends and families. And so we're facing this with you, your generation. While we're giving messages, you're texting messages. But guess what? Your children is going to be even more challenged to you, because the information is going to is going to mushroom and it's going to blow up like an atomic bomb. So that's the world tomorrow, and we have to face that world tomorrow. So next frame. So what is the need today? The need today is that the whole body needs to rise up. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And every member has to feel that he is useful, that he is accepted, that he has ownership, and that he has contribution. And that's what we're talking about this weekend, that we want everybody, the whole church, all the saints, and the young working saints, it's just one group of it. So we want all the saints to become useful, and not just, like I said, the seat warmers. They become useful, and you will see how everyone can be useful and accepted and have ownership and have contribution. And it will be very rare for the next generation to be raised up and grow up in one city and continue to be in that city. Most likely, those that are sitting here do not grow up here. Most of you grew up somewhere else, and then you come here. And I know how I felt when I first moved to another city. And I felt like, it's hard for me to belong. I don't fit in, and so forth. So what is the church? The church is a place where we need everybody to feel he is useful there, he is accepted there, he has ownership there. And that goes true for you, that goes true for all the new ones that are around you. And if we would be able to give them that kind of sense of ownership, sense of usefulness, sense of acceptance, and sense of contribution, then they will become part of the useful members of the body of Christ to build up the body. Otherwise, then they'll just not become useful members. Okay, next one. Okay, this is Chinese. You can skip this one. All these ones, we will have the English equivalent in the PowerPoint today. So before I move to what I want to speak about, I want to show you a video. But on second thought, I better not because of the time. So it's 8:15, and I want to spend an hour to share with you what I really want to share with you in this last message. And the video is about what the brothers did in Europe now. There's one segment who is passing out tracts to these new immigrants, and there's another segment trying to minister and trying to contact these ones after they are more settled down in the northern part of Europe. And there is a need of the first group. There's a need of the second group. The first group, actually, I call up the brothers in Rima, and they said they have one group that is going there 2 weeks in a shift, and that's all filled up. There's a second group that has been lined up, that's also filled up. But the third group, which will leave on December the 29th, they still have eight openings. And if anybody has 2 weeks opening, whether it's those that are sitting here or you're listening on the internet, go and to the Rima webpage and sign up. The next one that has opening is December 29th. However, Brother Richard Lee told me that the place where they're passing out these tracts, they have 100 buses that come in every day, and they're able to pass out tracts to only 15 of them. That's because of the limitation of manpower and resources, the amount of tracts and the amount of care packages that they have. So if we have more resources, we have more human resources and financial resources, then we can easily extend to more people. And they're all hungry, and they're all open, and they all want to listen to whatever is offered them. And we know what it's like when you landed in Ellis Island, everybody is open. Then after 5 years, or then we're still after, by the second generation, you're so Americanized, you're not open to anything anymore. And so there's a window of opportunity, and we have to realize that that's, you know, it's human history. So, okay, so now, let us go to our last message, okay? So please turn the PowerPoint to the last message. And and I told you that at the beginning, there's six messages, and it's L-I-V-I-N-G. And the G is tonight. And what is the G? The G is the goal. And what is the goal? The goal is four things. The gospel living for G, the open homes for O, the active groups for A, and then the living prophesying for L. And geographically, that's what the New Way is all about. It's the gospel, the homes, the groups, and then the districts. Fu jia pai chu, those in Chinese, you know it. So for in terms of what to do, then the first one is begetting, sung. The second one is nourishing. Where is the nourishing happening? The nourishing does not happen in the meeting hall. It happens in your own home, in your home. And then the third one is sung yang jiao. The third one is teaching. Where do we teach? Not only in the big meeting hall, but every one of us has to be the teachers. All of you young ones have to open up your home, and you have to teach the new ones from your home. And then lastly, the building. Where does the building happen? It happens with you. It happens in your own home. So that's Fu Jia Pai Chu Sheng Yang Jiao Jian, begetting, nourishing, teaching, and building. And that's the goal. What is the goal? The goal is to have this kind of a church life. A church life where, let's go to the next frame. It's these three things that Brother Lee talked about. Working the gospel into our daily living so that we would be preaching the gospel not as an event once a year, or worse still, once every 10 years, but as something that we do as part of the fabric of our daily living. Then working the truth into the saints so that we can be constituted and appreciating the saints to propagate the truth. Then working the church life into the home, and this is one big point, one really strong point I want to speak about tonight. And that is the strategy, the strategic move of God is with our homes. And so today, more homes open, then more move of God. And the crucial factor in this is the, I shouldn't say the young working saints, but the working saints, because that's where you have the homes. And if in the locality you have three families that are like that, then right away you can have the church life. And in the New Testament, all the churches spring up from the saints' homes. And you have at least four cases in the New Testament where it talks about the church in certain brothers' home, or the certain sisters' home. So it's a very, very common thing in the New Testament to have the church life in the homes. So we're going to consider these three things in the following PowerPoint. Now, the next few PowerPoints are the importance of the homes and how the church meetings should be conducted in the homes. And you will be very surprised that these quotes are taken from Watchman Nee in 1937. It's taken from the book called The Normal Christian Church Life. And for most of you, you know that that is almost like the Magna Carta of the truth concerning the practice of the church life in the Lord's recovery. And in that first book, which everybody, they said, yeah, Watchman Nee, his book, The Normal Christian Church Life, that's important. They did. They missed out this part. And it's in chapter 12 of the church, of the normal Christian church life, on the meeting place. And he's saying, well, where should the church meet? Now, I'll quickly read over this. I'm sure some of you have read it before, but I'll just read it through with you. The thought of a church is so frequently associated with church building that the building itself often is referred to as the church. That's a Christianity concept. Everybody says, oh, I go to church. And if they bomb, then they bomb the church. Well, sorry, they won't. Your home won't be the target because they don't consider your home the church. But guess what? That's where the church is. In God's word, it is the living believers who are called the church, not the bricks and the mortar. The temple of the New Testament is not a material edifice. It consists of living persons, all believers in the Lord. That means you and me. We are the church. Because the New Testament temple is spiritual, then the question of the meeting places for believers or places of worship is of minor importance. Next frame. That is why in the Word of God we find His children meeting in the family atmosphere of a private home. We read of the church in the house of Prisca and Aquila, the church in the house of Nymphas, the church in the house of Philemon. The New Testament mentions at least these three different churches that were in the homes of believers. How did the churches come to be in such homes? If in a certain place there were a few believers and one of them had a house large enough to accommodate them all, they quite naturally assembled there, and the Christians in that locality were called the church in the house of so-and-so. So I don't know how many homes or houses there are in New York City, but if you measure the population, it's 10 million, 12 million. But among them, you have all these homes. And if all these homes blossom, and each one with practice, like it says, becomes a house of Prisca and Aquila, then suddenly you will have 100 meeting places in the city of New York. Would you say amen to that?
Amen.
And I closed my eyes and I said, wow, wouldn't it be wonderful if I live long enough to come back here in 10 years' time and find 100 districts in New York? And Brother Peter said that there are 648 subway stations. Now, wouldn't it be wonderful if along each subway station there is a home that is open? So you say, well, it's too late for me to get home for my home meeting. So I just stopped at the next subway station and got off, and I got to the next home meeting. Wow, don't you think that would be wonderful? Well, it ended up that meeting was in spoken in Spanish. Well, that's okay. It's just we're in the ministry. We're all in the same ministry in the same week of Holy Word, so that's fine. I just joined in. And then that's wonderful, but I wonder what's next station like. So the next time I stop at the next station and I look, look at the address on my iPhone and say, oh, wow, that's in Brother Kim's place. And so, okay, well, I go up and, wow, lo and behold, 20 and 30 believers are there singing, you know, burning, burning. You think I'm dreaming?
No.
You think that can happen?
Yes.
Well, you know, I got up this morning very early, and I thought, wow, the church in Jerusalem, and in the Bible, it says that there are myriads of people. You know, myriad means 10,000. 10,000 is 1 million. Is that myriads of believers are in the church in Jerusalem. I said, how big was the city of Jerusalem at that time? And a few years back, I took Brother Benjamin and Brother Peter to visit Jerusalem. I'm not talking about the modern Jerusalem. I'm talking about the historical Jerusalem, the Jerusalem that was that has been here around for 2,000 years. And you know how big that old Jerusalem is? It's 0.37 square mile. Do you know how much is 0.37 square mile? It, 1,000 of them can fit into Manhattan. You know, Manhattan is like about 337.
33.7
square miles. So you can have 1,000 Jerusalem fitting into Manhattan. And each of those 1,000 has millions of believers in them. And they meet in homes. So if you say, I want to be like the New Testament, then that would mean that you would have 1,000 times millions of homes of believers here, just in Manhattan. It doesn't include Queens. It doesn't include all the other districts, just Manhattan alone. So I woke up, I said, wow, great, that's a dream. Would you dream together with me?
Amen.
How about that, Dennis? How about that, Ricky?
Amen.
And we'll have the whole world language in all different district meetings. And that would be wonderful, wouldn't it?
Amen.
Okay, let me finish this reading. When a church is founded, the believers from the very outset must learn to meet by themselves. You know, don't say, oh, my home is too, there's too few people and we're just too young in the church life. We don't know how to meet. Guess what? You got baptized last week, you can open up your home this week and you can start meeting. You believe me. There's always people that are younger than you are. You're baptized last week. Well, guess what? There are some people baptized this week, and you can shepherd them. And so the older ones shepherd the younger ones. Both the older ones in age shepherd the younger ones in age, as well as the older ones spiritually shepherd the younger ones spiritually. So they must learn to meet by themselves, either in their own home or in some other buildings which they are able to secure. Of course, not every church is a church in a house, but a church in a house should be encouraged rather than considered as a drawback. So it's not a drawback to have meetings, church meetings in the homes. Rather, it should be encouraged. Who is saying that? Not me. If I say, oh, I encourage you to meet in the home, you say, well, you know, Andrew, you're promoting things. Watch Bernier saying that. So blame him. The principle of houses still applies today. This does not mean that the whole church will always meet separately. So, you know, there are occasions when all these districts, they come together. And hopefully when they come together, by then it won't fit this meeting hall. We'll need a big tent.
Amen.
Maybe we'll meet in the stadium.
Amen.
But throughout the week, throughout the months, we meet on all the small homes. This does not mean that the whole church will always meet separately, but the meeting place for the believers could generally be. Generally be. That means usually it's meeting in a private home. Let's see if there's more that I quote. In the first place, people feel, okay, so now it's talking about the advantage of having the meetings in the homes. In the first place, people feel much freer to speak of spiritual things in the unconventional atmosphere of a home. You know, tonight, if I say, okay, well, sure. Oh, everybody, look around. Oh, so many people. How can I share? But if it is in a home environment, then it's different. You feel more free to share. Watchman, he says that. Where everything is conducted, this is much better than in a spacious church building where everything is conducted in a formal manner. Besides, there is not the same possibility for mutual intercourse. You know, tonight, I can't have mutual intercourse. It's like one directional. There's not enough time for you to reflect back. Somehow, as soon as people enter those special buildings, they involuntarily settle down to passivity and wait to be preached to. A family atmosphere should pervade all the gatherings of the children of God so that the brothers feel free to ask questions. Everything should be under the control of the Spirit, but there should be the liberty of the Spirit too. Further, if the churches are in the separate homes of the brethren, they naturally feel that all the interests of the church are their interests. Talking about ownership, there is a sense of closeness of relationship between themselves and the church, the sense of belongingness. Okay, next one. Still further, the meetings in believers' home can be a fruitful testimony to the neighbors. That's the gospel. And they provide opportunity for witness and gospel preaching. There are home meetings where all the children with their parents gather together for the home meeting from the same block. And you cannot happen in too many cities in this country, but certainly here in New York, because high rise are more. I grew up in Hong Kong, and some saints, you came from Korea, you know that it's very possible that you can have a district meeting on the same building, just the same block. And it's happening in big cities like Shanghai today. And so, you know, I don't know why, got the watchman need to speak about that in such a prophetic way, but that was 1937. And, you know, he is if he's talking about today. Many who are not willing to go to the church, quote, quote, would be glad to go to a private house. Isn't that true? How many of you witnessed that? That you invite people, they won't come here, but they come to your home. The influence is most helpful for the families of the Christian, children. From early days, the children will be surrounded by a spiritual atmosphere and will have the constant opportunity to see the reality of eternal things. Watchman, he said that in 1937. Again, if meetings are in the homes of the Christians, the church is safe of much material loss. There is no big maintenance. There is no expenses. And there is no big target for the terrorists to come and bomb you. One of the reasons that Christians survived the Roman persecutions during the first three centuries of church history was that they have no special buildings for worship, but met in cellars and caves and other inconspicuous places. Would you say amen to that?
Amen.
My argument wins. Meeting in the homes is much better. Next one. Let's see what is the next one. The scriptural method of church organization is simple to the extreme. As soon as there are a few believers in the place, they begin to meet in one of their homes. So tonight, anybody, if you have a home, you can have meetings in your home if you just open your homes. If the number increases so that it becomes impractical to meet in one house, then they can meet in several different houses, but the entire company of believers can meet together once in a while in some public place. A hall for such purposes could either be borrowed, rent, or built according to the financial condition of the church. But we must remember that the ideal meeting places of the saints are their own private homes. Are you convinced?
Amen.
Would you open up your home?
Amen.
That's my point. If you get that point, the message is finished. But we still have a few slides, and I'll go through that with you. Okay. What are we doing in the homes? So we talk about G-O-A-L, and the A is for active groups. And why do we need active groups? It's so that the perfecting can be done by you, by all the saints. Now, if we have a big meeting hall, who can do the perfecting? I do the perfecting because I speak more. Sorry, I speak long-winded. I speak loud, and I speak all kinds of way. But guess what? I got the big podium. So I do the perfecting. But listen, if the meeting is in your home, who does the perfecting? You do the perfecting. So you perfect those children, you perfect those neighbors, you perfect those students, you perfect those Spanish-speaking people, you perfect those Korean-speaking people, you perfect them. So that's why the home is the ideal place for perfecting. So the next thing is we must see, what are we here for? We're here not just for perfecting ourselves, we're here to perfect the saints and committing the work to them. Not just for the co-workers and the elders to commit the work to the saints, but even for you who have been saved only for 3 years, that you need to commit your work to the new ones. A brother came with me to the meeting tonight, and he said, I want to open up my home. I want to spend time to build up the group meeting, but there is a burden to have the district meeting. And so should I take care of the district meeting more, or should I take care of the group meeting more? I said, of course you take care of the group meeting more, but here's the problem. Most people, when they take care of the district meeting, then they start taking care of the district meeting year after year after year after year, and 5 years afterward, they're still the district leading ones. I said, even if you're the president, you only get 4 years. I think if you're the district leader, there's absolutely no problem, except that next year, you got to get somebody else to be doing that. And you move on. You move on. You either move on to another district, or you move on to open up more homes and to take care of more people to bear more fruit. And in this way, it won't be a hindrance. It won't be a struggle. It won't be a contention. It would be just more if you're open, you just bring in more people. We all need this vision. I tell you, every day I'm just thinking, there's so many saints in the Lord's recovery. How do I make everybody useful? The young ones, the older ones, how do I make everybody useful? You know, you got a dream like how Brother Lee dreams. Anyway, you got the point. So here is quotes from this book that I mentioned yesterday morning, The New Revival, or The Law of Revival. So this is taken from the book, The Law of Revival. And it says this: our work today is one in which, what is our work? To perfect others to do the work themselves, to perfect the new ones, even the high schoolers, to perfect them, to do the work so that they would do the work. We're not here to work for others. Paul produced a Timothy to be his disciple. Timothy then committed the work to faithful ones. The faithful ones went out and perfected others more. This is the way of our work today. It's not more preaching. It's not more simply more ministry, quote, quote. It's to produce more people to be involved in the Lord's work. Only those who can teach others the work will succeed in the work themselves. When a person takes all the work upon himself, he is in reality telling everybody else not to work. So because I work, you don't need to work. So we train all the full-timers, and we send the full-timers to all the churches, and the full-timers, they are so diligent, and basically they're sending the message that I'm working, so you don't need to work. I'm taking care of your high school students, so you don't need to take care of your high school students. And in spite of the fact that months later they come back and beg the parents, take care of your children, take care of your son. Well, the parents say, well, you're here. What do I need to do it for? It's your job. I offer the money to make you a full-timer. So you should do the job. It's like I pay my money for the accountant, so the accountant do my books. Then I don't have to do the books. So I pay you the money to be a full-timer. So you take care of my boy. That's your business. That's your responsibility. And if my boy doesn't come to the meeting, you bear the responsibility. When a person takes all the work upon himself, he is in reality telling everybody else not to work. The work of the co-workers today is to lead others and to induce the others to work. Their job is to distribute the work to others. So my job, what is my job? It's not just to, everybody just follow me. I am the star. So when I come and the whole place is filled up, and I feel so happy because I am, you're all supporting my work. So that is a really unfaithful and foolish worker. You know, what do I do? I don't need to speak that much. I come to this place and I make you busy. I make you busy. In 3 months, everybody's busy. And then I don't need to even speak because everybody rises up. That's my job. That's my job. The work of the co-workers today is to lead others and to induce everybody to work. Their job is to distribute the work to the others. They have to use whatever means they can, whatever means, to cause the others to work. That's Brother Lee's word. Okay, next one. Sorry for this smaller. The leading ones must struggle and strive for this. They must learn to help others to do the work. And I say the same thing to you. Don't think that this is just for the leading ones. For every one of us, we have to struggle and strive for this. Every one of us must learn to help others to do the work. If we do this, we will have a future. Otherwise, we will remain stuck at our saturation point. At present, the church in Taipei has reached a saturation point. No matter how many co-workers or elders we have reached the limit of their ability. It doesn't matter how much they preach the gospel, they cannot break through. If the psychology of the leading ones does not change, our present capacity can only do so much. Unless we train more and perfect more, we're at the saturation point. The solution is to change a concept and to help others to do so. Okay, next frame. One day we will all pass away, and everybody knows I'm not going to be here forever. And another generation will rise up. That's Watchman Nee's word, CWWN. The next generation that bring it must not be made up of 3 or 5 serving ones, but must be made up of the whole church serving. If one day the whole church rises up to do everything by itself, with the whole church preaching the gospel, whole church edifying each other, that will be the day when the world will see the church doing a new thing on earth. Today, the world whole problem lies with you and me. We must help every brother and sister to serve and make everyone a priest of God. Some may have the flesh, but we still have to ask them to work. Some brothers say that what they have is so little, it would be better if they hid it, but we have to tell them that they cannot do this. It is an easy thing for the one talent one to hide what they have. Many brothers and sisters feel that since they make mistakes, no matter how they work, they may as well not work at all. But we have to ask them to work. This is the way. Please believe my word, in not too distant a future, such a church will appear. By that time, men will see Philadelphia, the genuine brotherly love. Okay, next frame. The leading ones must struggle and strive for this. They must learn to help others to do the work. If we do this, we will have a future. Otherwise, we will remain stuck at our saturation point. No matter how many co-workers or elders we have reached the limit of their ability. So no matter how much they preach the gospel, they cannot break through. If the psychology of the leading ones does not change, our present capacity can only do so much. Unless we train more and perfect more, we are at our saturation point. So you get the point. The point is that everybody, they have to get the work out of their hand into other people's hand. And when they get it out into other people's hand, then there will be a future to the work. Next frame. So I summarize that as 7 points of emphasis. The emphasis of our work today is not on what we do, but whom we have perfected. It doesn't matter whether you get the soup cooked right, it's in the process you get your daughter trained to make the soup. So it's not in what you do, it's in whom we have perfected. Not on getting things done, but on getting people involved. Not on maintaining what we have, but on gaining more to do what we do. Not on working ourselves, but on perfecting others to work. Not on our success in the work, but on others' success in the work. Not doing a direct work, but doing an indirect work. And not merely working on man, but working through man. I think there's a lot of wisdom in these words, and it takes time to digest them, but I always try to remind myself, what am I doing here? Am I just doing a work of just, you know, myself working and just getting other people out of business? Or am I here to build up the body of Christ? So, next one. Now, I use John chapter 17 and consider this. John chapter 17 says, the Lord's way of perfecting people. He said he perfected them into one. And how did he perfect? Well, number one, by prayer. He prays in John chapter 17. He prays for the believers. Number two, he loves these believers. He said, even as Father has loved me, and I love these people. So he perfect them by prayer. He perfect them by love. He perfect them by the truth. And he perfect them by his sharing their glory with the glory that is with the Father and the Son. So I simplify that into these 4 simple words in the activity, the core activity of the church life is in these 4 words. It's prayer, care, share, and bear. That's what the church life is all about. Yes, the church needs a meeting hall and it needs somebody to come and clean. But the main thing of the church is in some people doing the praying, the caring, the sharing, and the bearing. Bearing means bearing fruit. And so they get perfected into oneness. And the oneness in John chapter 17 is in the Father's name, is in the Holy Word, and is in the divine glory. And that's all done through prayer. So that's how the perfecting of people get done. And it's perfecting them to so that they would become one. Now, in the Gospel of John and in the Epistle of John, there are four times, only four times and no more, that it says that your joy may be full. And so these four times that talk about the joy being full is when the Lord prays for us, then the joy is made full. When we love each other, then our joy is being made full. When the truth is in us and we keep his commandment, then our joy is being made full. And then when we share in his divine glory and we bear it with one another, then we are in this divine fellowship, and then our joy is being made full. And so you want your joy being made full?
Amen.
Perfect people. And how do you perfect them? By praying for them, by caring for them, by sharing with them, and then by bearing fruit together with them in the homes.
Yes.
Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
So then you can be the Lord Jesus' duplicate in perfecting people into oneness. That's a practical way of applying John chapter 17. Okay, next one. Example. The first one, Pentecost. I mentioned to you about my dream this morning. And the dream for New York City. And then now you see where we're heading. We're not just heading for another big meeting hall only. We're heading for the mushrooming of the church life in the city of New York. So Pentecost. Another example, it's a flesh and blood example, is in China today. There's no big meeting hall. You know, the church in Shanghai has 6,000 people, and there's no meeting hall. And where do the believers meet? They meet all in the homes. And it's not just in one city, it's in all the cities. And in fact, the way of having the church life in the homes, a few years back, this big preacher, a radio preacher, preaching to convert Iranian Muslims, as soon as he got all these Muslims saved, he has to help them on how to have the church life. And he cannot help them to have a church life according to the Western model of having a church and then getting these Muslim believers to go to a church building. They'll be killed. And so they have to be taught after they get saved how to have the church life right in their homes with their friends and their relatives and their in-laws and their parents and their children. And so he got very interested because he knows that we're talking a lot about it, Brother Lee talked about it, and in China we have a lot of examples of it. So he came purposely to the campus to learn from us. And I tell you, to our shame, even though it's all in the books, we're not carrying it out as effectively as it should. But I tell you, in the world today, especially in restricted countries, it's not only desirable, it's almost mandatory that we have to carry out the church life this way. And in fact, it is in the free world that we get sort of like, because it's free, we sort of get distracted and we channel the energy elsewhere. But we need to channel the energy to your own home. Listen, if tomorrow your home opens and you have a meeting in your home, see how much ownership you have. See how much you think that the church belongs to you.
Amen.
And I don't have to convince you. You know it yourself. By then, you will take the initiative. You will invite me to your home instead of me inviting you to come to my conference. And no, before. Don't jump yet. So China, Middle East, large cities, and like New York. You know, the home environment there is something very, very attractive. And you know, the seven feasts, we have them in the hotels, and because the Living Stream organized those events, So many times the hotels, they would give us the best rooms, you know, the ones serving in Living Stream. And I stay in five-star hotels, presidential suites, and, you know, all kinds of things. And then I come to New York, and the brother said, go to Dunton House. And you walk in, and then it's this old house, and then you walk up the wooden staircases, and then you have the stacks of old Reader's Digest on the magazine stack, and then you have the water bottle there. Oh, it's so good. It's homey. It feels much better than the five-star presidential suite. Every time the church in New York City invite me and the co-workers, please don't put us in the hotel. And it's much, so much more wonderful to be in the homes.
Amen.
But guess what tonight? Next time, I want your house to be another Dunton House. And in 5 years' time, I want 100 Dunton houses here in New York. Not just one Dunton house. That one Dunton house did so much. Dennis told me he got married there. Livingstone told me he lived there. And Timothy told me he lived there. You know, it perfected so many people. It's just one Dunton house. What if there's 100 Dunton houses? And every one of them perfect. Wouldn't that be wonderful?
Amen.
Do you think you can do it?
Amen.
Yes, you can. So let's make a vow with the Lord.
Amen.
So next time I come, 10 Dunton houses. How's that?
Amen.
If you don't have 10 Dunton houses, don't invite me. And then instead of staying at that Dunton house, I would stay in that Dunton house.
Amen.
And there would be more homey.
Amen.
So next one, let's consider what are the obstacles. And those are the obstacles. Number one, privacy. Number two, security. And number three, individual freedom. You know, the American says that everybody's home is his own castle. Well, that's terrible. You know, one time I went, my wife was in the desert, and I was driving, and I got somewhat lost. I drove into somebody else's driveway. So there this man came up with a rifle. He said, back off! If you don't back off, I'll shoot. I said, sorry, I got into your castle. Everybody's home. They try to make it a castle. They try to install the security system, you know, a security camera, and make sure now finally I got my home. And so I make sure everything is according to my design. Then I feel secure. But still you got bad dreams because you care so much for that castle. I don't know why I kept coming back to this Princess Lucia. But I want all the Princess Lucias who got locked up in their castle to turn the castle around and make your castle a hospital instead. So a castle, it's beautiful. You're like in Europe today, you see all these wonderful, beautiful castles along the beautiful Blue Danube. Nobody lives there. That's except that lonely priest, princess, you know, who feel false security, you know, false privacy, and she's so lonely, so she start getting two cats to be her companions. Oh, what a miserable life. And she thought she's free, but she's actually locked up in her castle. Guess what? I'm coming to free you.
Amen.
Princess Lucia. And I'm going to kill all those obstacles, those obstacle courses. Your privacy, I'm going to kill it. Your security, I'm going to kill it. And then your four sense of freedom, I'm going to kill it. Then your home is going to you open up. And sunlight comes in. And the banner starts flagging in the turrets. And the moat starts coming down instead of coming up. And suddenly, people start filling up your home, and it becomes a hospital, and you're happy. You know, when my wife and I got married, we were in Hong Kong, and I make sure that I rent a big, huge house. And there's not many big, huge houses like here in New York. Then finally, I found one, 100 years house that is big and huge, except it has only one bathroom. And somehow that bathroom has been turned into a communal bathroom with five or six commodes and the partitions like public bathroom. So I said, well, that's good. That's suitable. So guess what? My wife and I moved into that honeymoon house, and we have 10 brothers living with us. And then after 1 year, switch. We have 10 sisters living with us. And that was the best beginning. And I read Hudson Taylor's biography. And there is a picture in his biography that says the house that he brought his bride to, you know, his bride chamber. And it was a back alley of a dingy street in Hangzhou. And I said, wonderful. So I blew up the picture, and I framed it. I put it on my bedroom, right on beside my bed, to remind us that we're not for a castle. We're here for God's house. Amen. So that God will have a house. I'm so glad some of the ones that went through that are leading ones. You know, the chief editor of Taiwan Gospel Book Room, Moses Chu, he was one of the 10 brothers that stayed there. And now I'm so glad. And I know when you open up your home, you're asking for trouble, because not everybody that comes in is clean and nice. And we were talking about this subject, and Benson, he said, oh yeah, when we first got married, we have brothers living with us. And then one day my car got stolen, one of those brothers. I just took off my car and then went and drove it to another state. Yeah, you got problem. But it's happier to have a household with people with problem than to have a household with no problem and with no problem. Then the best place is to move into the cemetery. That is no problem. you never have a problem with your neighbor. It's a wonderful environment. But the trouble is, it's dead. Do you want to spend your retirement time like that, in that kind of environment? And all day long, you just pet your pet, your cat. That's my only companion. Only she can understand me. Nobody else can. Okay, so here we come.
Amen.
The rescuer has come.
Amen.
Has saved you from your loneliness.
Amen.
Open up your home.
Amen.
Break down the privacy. Break
Amen.
Down your false sense of security. And then let the Lord move in. Next one. Okay. That's the conclusion for these six meetings. What do we need here? For all of you working saints, we need a new beginning.
Amen.
So let's read this together. The more we fellowship, the more we sense a need for a new beginning. The church has reached the ending of one stage and therefore needs a new beginning. If we do not have a new beginning, we will inevitably fall into formal service and religious worship. Formal service and religious worship involve observing rules and following regulations. Our service may have been living and fresh 7 or 8 years ago, but it will be dead and old if we're still serving in the same way. For example, the Old Testament service was living at Moses' time, but after many years, it lost its vitality and became dead. In order to be delivered from formal service and religious worship, the church must have a new beginning. This does not mean that we need a new method or a new way. Our ground is right. The way that we carry out the service is also right, but it lacks vitality. I hope that the serving ones can sense the onus. The serving ones must have a new beginning so that they can influence the saints and thus cause the churches to have a new beginning. Next frame. Read. In order to have a new beginning, we must have a new consecration. Only by having a new beginning with a new consecration and new dealings will our work be fresh, and the church will experience another stage of the Lord's fresh presence, the law of revival, chapter 1. Okay, finally, I'll take 5 minutes to go over the last frame. So go to the last frame. The last frame is on the local church life. We know what is the local church, but what is the local church life? You know, Brother Lee said before he came to this country, there's no such a word in English as church life. If you read Christian books, they don't mention the word church life. They mention the life of the church. And it was when the recovery came that we realized that the church is not a building and the church is not a service. The church is a life. And actually, it's the church living. You know, in Chinese, it's 教会生活. It's not 教会生命. That life is not life as in the inward life. It's life in the way of, like, our life, the way we live. So what is a local church? We know the local church is on local ground and so forth. But what is the local church life? And we need to ask that because the Lord's recovery is not just theoretical about a spiritual building up in heaven. Like 50 years ago, there's a spiritual giant called Austin Sparks. And he talked very spiritual terms about the church as the body of Christ, you know, the fullness and so forth. But when you say, well, how do you work out a church life? He has no answer. And then, you know, of course, in the Lord's recovery, we're not just for the vision, but we're for the practice. And he came to Taiwan and he started attacking the practice. And so when Brother Lee, he went to visit this quote-unquote spiritual giant, he said, you and I are the same in vision, in revelation, in principle, everything, but not the same in practice. Because we are here not only satisfied with the vision, we are here to practice the church life. Amen. And the church life is not theoretical. The church life is in time and space. Space and time. And you all know space is three-dimensional, time is, you add that. That's why I have the word four-dimensional church life. You know, four-dimensional. That means it's practical. It touches our daily life. It touches everything. It touches our family. It touches the way we live. And that is the practical local church life that the Lord is recovering today. Yes, he is recovering the vision of the body. What are the three main items of the Lord's recovery? The first is the recovery of the experience of Christ. The second is the recovery of the vision of the body of Christ. And the third is the recovery of the functioning of every member of the body of Christ. Those are the three crucial elements of the recovery. If you say, what is the recovery? That is the recovery. You take away any one of those three, that's not part of the recovery. So, why do we talk so much about the practice of the church life? Why do we talk about having the church life in the home? Why do we talk about perfecting people? Why do we labor so much to get everybody to have ownership and so forth? That's because we want the practical church life. A church life that people can feel with their hands in space and time. And, you know, a couple of months ago, is there a chalk here?
Careful.
And I have this diagram, you know, what is three-dimensional? Okay, X, Y, Z. So here we have, this is a goal, and that's begetting, nourishing, teaching, and perfecting, okay? But if you only have that, you only have the goal, and it's only a linear one-line thing. So you have to, within that that structure, you have to perfect others to do what you're doing. You have to make others to preach the gospel too. You have to make others to be nourishing people too. You have to make them the same as you are. Then you have two-dimensional. But two-dimensional is just the blueprint. Then, so this is perfecting people. This is your goal. And then, so it says that you have to be filled in spirit. So without the spirit, everything that we talk about in the last six meetings is just blueprint. And we like blueprints. Blueprints are wonderful. But if you only have the blueprints, it's only two-directional. So we need to pray. I appreciate some of the young people said, well, that just forced me to pray more. Well, when you pray, that blueprint will become three-dimensional. And that's we're talking about something very practical, something that will happen this week, next week, happen right away after this meeting, that you have to make this thing happen. Will you make this happen?
Amen.
Okay, then not only will you make this happen, but you will make it happen consistently over time. So space, three-dimensional over time, that's a four-dimensional church life that I am talking about. And if you have that, then you have the real local church life. The church life that has flesh and blood, the church life that is in time and space, and that is what the Lord wants. May the Lord bless all of us. May the Lord bless the church in New York.
Amen.
And may the Lord bless all the churches, that we would do this to please the Lord for his coming back.
Amen.
Now, we still have 15 minutes, so you can respond to this message, or you can respond to this whole weekend, or if you have not consecrated and you still want to consecrate, now is the time. Okay? Amen. Come up. Amen.
Even if you've said something before tonight, yeah, come, go, here, start.
Oh, Lord Jesus,
amen.
I just want to take this opportunity to consecrate myself to the Lord. Oh, Lord, I give myself to you, Lord.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, I don't want to take things for granted.
Amen.
You know, it's the Lord's mercy that we can be in the church life, and I just have to praise him because he's speaking the high truths to us. And I feel like I just have to respond because the Lord really desires to raise up our generation to bring him back. And I just have to admit, at times I'm not constant. I just have to admit that I'm not constant. But I thank the Lord that we can start with a new beginning, a fresh consecration to the Lord. And I just have to say one thing about the home meetings. You know, recently we bought a new home and my basement bathroom is quite large. And when most people walk in, they're struck by this big bathtub in the middle. And I'm like, you don't see what I see? I'm a dreamer too, Brother Andrew. To me, this basement is a baptismal for the new ones.
Amen.
So I say, Lord, bring the new ones. We have what we need. Just open up this home so that you can gain what you're after.
Amen.
So praise the Lord for this home. Lord, we consecrate our home to you too, Lord. We love you, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Tonight, this is not restricted to those younger than 40. Well, no age limit tonight. Just feel free. Feel free. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Past 40, a long time ago. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm so happy to be here. I feel like when when you hear something about opening your home and having the church in your home and perfecting others, that could feel very, very scary. And like, I can't do that. I don't know how to do that, you know. And I know there's a reservation in a lot of us. And I just had, an experience this past Saturday night after the meeting. I brought two new young ones. Their families are not in the church life. They're newly saved. They're high schoolers. They came to the meeting. They were kind of lost. They came home. They sat in the kitchen. And they drove me crazy asking me questions and questions and questions. And we fellowshiped and we talked. And I was happy by the end of that night. Very, very happy. And they wanted to come again. And one left her toothbrush. And they just wanted to talk more. And I said, okay, that's enough. Let's read the Bible and let's go to bed. And then the Lord really bothered me. This is what you need to do. You need to resume opening your home,
Amen.
Bringing in the new ones.
Amen.
This is how you perfect
Amen.
Them. Talk to them, shepherd them, even just one or two at a time. They, all the saints have questions. We're all on different levels. Just to be open, enjoy the Lord personally, and welcome them to your home. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord, says, I really thank the Lord that this evening's meeting, particularly concerning the home meetings, has been a secret prayer on my heart. I mean, I've been praying. I said, Lord, do what you did, you've been doing in Shanghai, and do what you've been doing in Taiwan. Do it here in New York City.
Amen. Yeah.
There must be homes springing from borough to borough. From, I mean, like, if there are a lot of home meetings, you just go from house to house.
Amen.
And before the meeting, we were fellowshipping, I was telling the saints that, you know, some of us, when we saw the church life, it was in their homes. It was in the homes that we learned how to cook. We didn't have, I mean, every home is a home to, was a home to us. And I pray that the Lord will do the same thing here in this unique city.
Amen.
This is a unique
Amen.
City in the whole earth.
Amen.
And I pray, Lord, give me a home.
Amen.
And I consecrate my home, even though I don't have a decent home, a two-bedroom, or even I'm only having a small place. But I know the Lord is going to give me a home.
Amen.
And if he gives me that home, I open it for Christ and the church.
Amen.
I give my home to perfect. To be perfected and also to perfect the young ones.
Amen.
My
Amen.
Home is not for me, it's for the church.
Amen.
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 Praise
Amen.
The Lord. Eventually, I'm come here for consecrate myself.
Amen.
I don't know what to say, but I don't want to go home by regret. Because yesterday, I almost, they say, consecrate time. My heart is beating very fast. But I don't want to consecrate in front of all the people by looking at me. But eventually, they said, okay, the time, because due to the time, no more standing up. So I said, okay. So, but I go home with a regret.
Amen.
So today when they say the consecrate time, I said,
right.
okay, amen. Well, I don't know what to say.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
I want to consecrate my life for you.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, I want to redeem the time.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, I want to take all the chance.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, let you use me.
Amen.
Standing on me. Oh, Lord, I want to give my next 5 years, next 30
yes.
years to you.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, I want my all the daily life. Be the church knife.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, I want to, oh, Lord, my time, my finance, my relationship, and all my information to you. Oh, Lord, praise you.
Amen.
Amen.
Saints, we can consecrate anywhere, even tonight after the meeting, or tomorrow morning in your time with the Lord. But some of you, the Lord is moving in you to do it publicly before this conference ends. I encourage you, take the step. That means something. It means something to do something before the church. And in public. Amen. Please go.
Praise the Lord, saints. I wasn't going to come up, but the brothers gave us permission, right? I feel like almost every message I've come up to say something in response, and it's just the Lord's mercy that there's just something there.
Amen.
And today we had a meeting in our agency to talk about organizational changes and to talk about the vision for what's going to happen in the next 10 years. And me and the coworkers left like, what are they talking about? None of it seemed practical. It almost seemed like this was not going to work, and we couldn't buy into it, which is the complete opposite of what Brother Andrew just shared to us, right? Like, we heard it, we saw it, and I was thinking, you know what? This is New York City. We can actually have a small group at every single train stop.
Amen.
You know, I live in Bensonhurst now, so at my train stop, there's like 8 different buildings. It's not that difficult to actually get into some someone's home because we've done it before. And one thing that struck me that our brother mentioned is that this is a blueprint, right? So when you have a blueprint, you know what's there, but until you get to actually do the work, you don't work it out. So our brother kept talking about practice, right? Practice is something you continually do. You don't get it, you just keep doing it, right? Doesn't matter what the sport is, you have to go to practice. Because if you don't practice, you can't get in the game, right?
Amen.
So I just appreciate we can all enter into this, we can all practice, and whatever your burden is, just go out, work it out, and that's how the vision will get built here in New York City.
Amen. Amen.
Jesus, I just wanted to use this opportunity to consecrate myself.
Amen.
I wanted to consecrate my time, my finance,
amen,
information, and relation to the Lord. And in the past, it's all about like pursuing a life myself. But after this message, I really need to learn how to perfect others. Oh, Lord Jesus, I need to learn to how to beget Him, how to nourish, how to teach, and how to build with other saints.
Amen.
Oh, I'm also willing to consecrate my home to the Lord.
Amen.
Hope my house will be the next downtown house.
Amen. 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 Amen.
The need today is for the whole body to rise up.
Amen.
So that every member feels useful, accepted, has ownership, and has a contribution.
Amen.
How do you have these four things? Open up your home.
Amen.
A number of years ago, I was part of a home meeting that consisted of 30 saints meeting together of various ages. And after a number of months, I realized my usefulness was decreasing. My ownership of that meeting was not so much, and I didn't have much contribution because the meeting was so large.
Mm-hmm.
So I had some fellowship with some of the saints. Maybe we should open our home. It's a small apartment. We can only host 6 or 7, but we can have another home.
Amen.
And there was concern, well, how do you have a new meeting? You're going to have to coordinate. You have to come up with material, and you'll have new ones. How do you address their questions? No problem, because it's a home.
Amen.
And there's usefulness there, and there's ownership, and there's contribution.
Amen.
And my wife and I opened up our little apartment. We had a few saints over, and it was marvelous.
Amen.
All the saints that came, it was a small group, had ownership, had acceptance, and had usefulness.
Amen.
So praise the Lord for the way of the open homes. Don't be afraid that your home is so small or so limited. Just open your home.
Amen.
Invite the saints over.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. First of all, I really want to thank you for the message, and thank you for the meeting. So this constantly for the four dimension, that was really touch.
Mm-hmm.
When Brother Sam and Sister Maria moved, our meeting kind of, you know, we need somebody in there, but we pray, but we don't know what to do. But last Thursday, the whole meeting, when I see the invitation, Brother Ricky and the Sister Rebecca, there, the names there, and I saw the constantly right here. So it's really something. And so I really want to consecrate for myself and for my parents as
Amen.
Well.
Amen.
I had a dream last year. Mm. I want my parents to hear the gospel, but I'm not there for them. So I feel, but thanks for the saints in Brooklyn. So they make the connection. So my
Amen.
Parents got saved.
Amen.
And so now this year I had another dream. I want my house could be open
Amen.
In Hangzhou.
Amen.
So welcome, Brother Andrew, please.
Amen.
Welcome to Hangzhou, another city near Shanghai, when you get a chance. Yeah, truly. And you know, a couple years ago, when I was junior school, we have a West Lake in the center of our city. Actually, there's more than maybe 10,000 people holding hands and around the West Lake and sing the song of our hometown. I hope one day we can holding hands to sing the hymnal.
Amen.
So, yeah, praise
Amen.
The Lord. Thank you.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I have been greatly helped, especially by this little diagram of these three dimensions of the practical church life. And probably I heard this before, but this time it really struck me. in my inner being, because in the practice, many times we have a lineal church life. But today I was really struck by this, the Spirit. We need to be filled by the Spirit. Amen. We can be very busy doing a lot of things with the best intention, but without the Spirit, can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing,
Amen.
Said the Lord. So tonight, I really want to open my heart to the Lord. And confess, Lord, I have been very busy. But sometimes without you, Lord, Lord, I want to consecrate myself to
Amen.
You. I want to give my family to you, Amen. My home to you.
Amen.
Lord, you know the hindrances.
Amen.
Lord, you know the problems. But you are the Lord.
Amen.
And I praise you tonight.
Amen.
I consecrate freshly to you, Lord.
Amen.
Open my heart to you.
Amen.
Lord, work it out in me.
Amen.
Work it out in my family.
Amen.
Work it out in my home.
Amen.
Work it out in the church in New York City.
Amen. Amen.
Listen, that's your GPS.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
That's the GPS.
Amen.
Amen. I just want to take this opportunity to consecrate myself.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus, I just want to consecrate myself to you.
Amen.
I want to offer my time, my finance, my relationship
yes.
with you, even my
Amen.
Marriage, and even the information that I get every day. I want to consecrate all of them to you.
Amen.
I also want to open my home to you.
Amen.
Let your Holy Spirit fill in my home. I reserve no privacy, no security, no individual freedoms, false freedoms. I just want to open my home to you. May you use me as your vessel to glorify your name. Amen.
Amen.
For those parents sitting here, if you want to count, 你们父母们如果愿意带着孩子们奉献，也可以上来奉献, 好不好? For those parents who want to bring our children, come up together as a family unit, and I think we encourage you to stand up and come out.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead, brother.
Keith.
Oh, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Just praise the Lord for this message. Praise the Lord for this local church.
Amen.
I wasn't able to make any of the other messages. My brother Jared meets with you very frequently.
Praise
I meet with Jared
Lord.
Once
yeah.
a week.
Amen.
Love Jared, love the church.
Amen.
And I was very blessed that I was able to make it to hear this message tonight.
Amen.
Because the Lord really touched my heart about the home.
Amen.
The Lord makes his home in us.
Amen.
And then we live in the home.
Right.
And the Lord fills us, and then the Lord is to fill the home.
Amen.
So it really made me think about, what does my home look like? What is happening in my home?
Mm.
I should be a vessel for the Lord and a vessel for the gospel. My home
Amen.
Should be a vessel for the Lord and a vessel for the gospel,
Amen.
By which then I can invite people into my home where the Lord lives, where
Amen.
The gospel is spoken.
Amen.
So I look at my home and the people that live in my home that are not in the word with me, that are not sharing in the riches of the Lord. And I was touched that's where I need to start. My home needs to be a bastion for the gospel. My
Amen.
Home needs to be a castle for the Lord. And then I can invite people in. So I was very touched with the need to share the Lord with my family.
Amen.
Not only to share in the label of Christianity with my family, but to enjoy the Lord together with them.
Amen.
To consume the Lord together with them.
Amen.
To enjoy them so that then I can invite others into my house and they too can share
Amen.
In the love and the glory of the Lord with us.
Amen.
So today I want to consecrate myself to the Lord.
Amen.
Lord, I want to ask you to use me.
Amen.
I want to ask you to fill me.
Yes.
And I ask you to turn my life into the life that is Christ, that I could share your life with my family, that I could raise up new ones, that I could be useful, that I could train others to be useful, that we would build your church.
Amen.
Lord, come to us, Lord.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord for the new beginning.
Amen.
For the church life here.
Amen.
I just really want to just consecrate myself in my home.
Amen.
I just feel that the gospel needs to be work into my living.
Amen.
Not just an activity that I do once in a while.
Amen.
But Lord, oh Lord, really work the gospel into my living.
Amen.
And work the truth into me.
Amen.
From all the books on the shelf into me.
Amen.
That I would get into it diligently.
Amen.
And be faithful to speak to the others.
Amen.
And then also to work the church life into my home.
Amen.
I don't want to just have a formal service or religious worship in the church life. Lord, gain our home.
Amen.
And I consecrate myself and my home to you.
Amen.
Lord, defeat our privacy.
Amen.
Defeat our security.
Amen.
And defeat our individual freedom.
Amen.
And our home will be fully open to you.
Amen.
For the building up of the church.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, I would like to consecrate myself to the church and then to the Lord.
Amen.
There are so many times come up to consecrate ourselves. And a lot of time, I just go back to my own life. Like the first message the brother talking about, two kinds of life. I just want to consecrate myself again, refresh my consecrate, and then our home will now be our security, freedom,
Amen.
And whatever we like
privacy.
To do, privacy. We want to open our home.
Amen.
And we want to have a real one church life.
Amen.
Oh, we consecrate we ourselves and our family and then all the children.
Amen.
And then we will have our time open to the
Amen.
Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Not only in the meeting hall, but also in the house.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
I really appreciate the Brother Andrew Yun. Share all the truth with us, help me appreciate the history of the Lord's recovery. And he and his wife demonstrated the God-man living, which is a great pattern for all of us. Yesterday at dinner time, normally my family will listen to the classic music or listen to the radio, but we replayed the fellowship, specifically Brother Peter Yu's consecration, which really brought tears to my family, my kids. So I really want to take this opportunity to consecrate myself, my husband, and my two children.
Amen.
Really have a new beginning, have a new habit.
Amen. Amen.
My house, we have been opening our house. Sometimes open, sometimes close, it's like elevator door. Every time me and my husband had some argument or something happened to my kids' schedule, our first thing is, well, maybe we cannot open our house for meeting. But we really need to pray.
Mm.
We need to pray, Lord, bind your enemy.
Amen.
You are the victor, and we want to be strengthened in you so we all can become the servants of Christ and steward of the mystery of the Lord.
Amen.
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 Amen. I want to echo brother's a message and also the call regarding opening the homes. I believe many of the ones sitting here or even watching the mass, watching the online message, are the ones serving and opening the homes. I'm one of them. So I want to give the testimony that opening home is really a bless to your family and to the church. I was saved, about 10 years ago, was brought into church life by a couple who was serving the campus. They opened their home and brought me to home, and
Amen.
Then I was saved. And then also always meeting together at home, have meals, cooking dinners. And then after brother left, I found spontaneously, I was doing the same thing.
Amen.
So, and then I found it's really, really a bless, because when you're opening a home, you actually become very busy, because you want to bring a gospel friend to your home, you need to prepare lots of things. Not only the food, but also you need to prepare your spirit.
Amen.
You have lots of more prayer.
Amen.
You also need to prepare the truth, because that's force you to read more Bible.
Amen.
And also constituted by the truth. So you want to perfect someone, you also need to be perfected by with yourself. So there are so many things that force you to be perfected and perfect others. And then another point I want to share is opening home is really productive. It brings so many be saved and also so many be perfected.
Amen.
I have been there in Colombia for 10 years. I didn't count how many be saved, but must be hundreds. So it's really productive. And also when the saints be perfected, they will be the same like you. It's like a home is actually reproducing another home that are opening for the gospel and the
Amen.
Church.
Amen.
And then we have so many homes that doing the same thing. Even a home being here saved for 6 months, they went back to China, and I heard they're opening their home doing the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Only yesterday, there was a brother just being baptized, and we believe he was one of the hardest ones being baptized.
Hmm.
And then what happened is, a brother who was being saved only 2 months ago opened his home and called brothers and his couple friends to have lunch together. And during the lunch time, he given testimony, and that student say, "Yeah, tomorrow will be my day to be baptized."
Amen.
You know, so spontaneously he's doing the same thing. So I really encourage those who, have a home
mm-hmm.
being opened for the church, and also practice in that four-dimensional church
Amen.
Life.
Amen.
It will
Amen.
Be very productive, and you will be blessed.
Amen. Okay, we'll close with these five saints. Go.
Saints, praise the Lord for the home.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, that we would have open homes for the building of the body.
Amen.
I was just so touched by this message, because my home was open. I mean, I have meetings at my house. My mom has meetings. She has the saints over on Saturday night sometimes. And, you know, so the home was open, but I guess my room in particular wasn't open. So, you know, my mom would ask me, "Oh, you know, we need to give hospitality." I said, "Yeah, that's fine, just not my room." So I was just really touched one day, because I don't remember what conference it was, but one of the brothers came up to me and said, "Oh, can you give hospitality?" And I said, they said they needed one room for one more sister. And I was like, in the back of my mind, I was like, "No, my house is full already." And I was like, "Let me just go ask, you know, let me ask my mom first." And then later on, I was talking to a sister, and she told me that she had just came. And I realized that it was actually her who needed the extra space. So then I was just really touched, like, wow, like, I really, like, my home is not just for me and my privacy and things mm-hmm. that I want to do, but the home is for the saints.
Amen.
So, I mean, after hearing that, of course, I told her she could stay with me.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. 说家打开也是一种神的祝福，不但存钱自己，还会存钱家人。从我家小牌打开，一聚会完以后，我家的孩子就会有一个不一样的转变。从前又是聚会什么，他们都不会那样的积极，但是从这个招商，余弟兄参加我们小牌，他那么长时间在那边，他们走了，他们得到鼓励了，里面得到供应，他们个个在做卫生，一边说一边开心说，怎么那么快就完了？后来他里面受到鼓励了，他说老妈，火鸡节要关门，我说阿们，我很开心等他们说这个话，那你去问问，火鸡节那天有没有聚会，我们去参加。 有爱眼，我们去。我说好，我去问。然后我就打给那个何志强弟兄，他说以后这里有小牌，有爱眼。然后我今天晚上来了，是那一个弟兄跟我讲，在唐人街那个叫什么那个弟兄，他说今天晚上这边有聚会，然后带了三个国内刚来的亲戚，今天也带来聚会。 但是感谢主，我觉得家打开非常的好，然后他们说，我说好，然后跟彭凯弟兄说，这边有聚会，我们家他们有四个年轻人想参加，可以吗？他说可以呀，那很开心，所以就说家越打开越蒙神祝福，然后也成全我家的弟兄，非常的同心。当初我前几年有一次。 奉献哈，就说一家人同心合意，盼望有家打开，真的奉献这些神祝福的应验了。但是我今天再次奉献，把我的一家人能够全家侍奉主。我在这里宣告说，至于我和我家，必定侍奉耶和华。
Amen. Praise the Lord for the faithful sharing from our brother. I really need to testify that when we open our home, not only we're saved, but our children are saved. We have been opening our home for meeting for some time. And last week we had a long meeting, but it was very enjoyable. Our children even had the sense, how come the meeting have ended? We had a 3-hour meeting. The meeting just went. And they were very encouraged, and then they have a business. So all their children mentioned to her that Thanksgiving, we should close our business. We should go meet with the saints. And they want to know where are meetings. So there's a meeting here at the meeting hall on Thursday. So they will all come. And also they invited some brother who brought their friends. So praise the Lord. And she just want to consecrate again her family to the Lord. That they will serve the Lord together in oneness. That as for them and their house, they will serve the Lord.
Amen, saints. I was reading the letters given to us last Friday during work yesterday, and I was just really touched about a couple of phrases in the letter, and one of them is the everlasting hunger and thirst.
Amen.
That is in regards to our progress, the spiritual progress in the church life, and to attain the God-man living. And it's funny how I read this, and I was at work. After work, I worked with another sister, and I told myself, I am never going to spend the money that I get. Because we always go out to eat after work. I was like, this Sunday, I'm never going to spend it so that I can have something to spend for the conference in Florida. But then I was really hungry after work, and it just reminded me that whenever you're really hungry, you don't have any reservations whenever you look for food. Like, you can't hold anything back. You just look for food and do whatever you can just to eat something. And we were so hungry, and I had the particular craving of food downtown, and we were working uptown. We drove, I don't know, like more than 30 blocks just to get to that food. So saints, whenever we are spiritually hungry for the Lord, we do not have any reservations. All we seek really is just to feed on Christ.
Amen.
And I pray to the Lord that He will give me this eternal, everlasting hunger and thirst, that every day I will be hungry and thirsty for His word.
Amen.
You know, saints, I grew up in the church here, and you know, someone referred to me recently as a senior brother, and I felt like, who are you talking to? Are you targeting me? I still feel like I'm the young person sitting over there, you know, with my head down here. Couldn't wait till the meeting is over. And I'm still the person that was sitting in the back, and Brother Matt keeps saying, you know, you have to move to the front. You move to the front. But, you know, I grew up at a certain point in a way where I felt like saints did not expect me to do anything. They didn't expect me to speak. They didn't expect me to serve. And I felt like I was protected in that way. And, you know, you think you would be happy in that way. But as you go on in our life, you know, we all need the Lord. And when we open to the Lord and we seek Him, then He starts to blow on you. He starts to make you feel uncomfortable. And, you know, at a certain point when, you know, saints would talk, you know, you have to speak, you have to exercise in the meeting, you know, sudden I didn't feel comfortable anymore. You know, within the Spirit is moving, and you can't quench that, because if you do, then you feel death, right? So eventually, little by little, the matter of just functioning in the meetings, the matter of opening our homes. You know, sometimes you would think that the way to do it is, okay, you're going to plan everything, and you're going to get it just right. And you want to just, you know, you just know how you're going to do it, how you're going to open a home, you schedule it. And you know what? You're not going to be happy. There are times where I remember with my wife, when we were opening home after we were married, we would get into fights about how to cook a meal. You know, that's not the matter of opening a home. But actually, the best times for us was when, you know, a need arose and saints just wanted to stop over. And then you're at a test. You're like, it's so easy to say, oh, now is not a good time, right? Now really is not convenient. But convenient to who? You know, we shouldn't do this according to our need. You know, when people ask to come over, there's a need.
actually, it's not just that person, but it's also God's need.
Amen.
You'll be the happiest when you meet that need.
Amen.
You know, the best thing about this conference, I have to say, I appreciate the speaking and everything, but, you know, we moved to Queens, and, you know, we had an open home in Manhattan. We loved having the saints over. We loved hosting, giving hospitality. And now we're in a new home. And through circumstances, it wasn't easy to open our home. And you know, it's an adjustment to live in a different place. And it's a different church life, you know. But, you know, Saturday, you know, a lot of saints are here, and we have a big break till 4. And so we weren't planning. I mean, we really weren't planning to have saints over. So there was, like, the cereal was spilled on the floor. The kids' clothes are still on the floor. The house is a mess. But then saints needed a place to go. And so our brother had a passenger van. So he just loaded it up with saints, and they just stopped by. You know, saints, that was the best experience. You know, this will make you happy. You know, what the sister shared about your children, you'll have better children. You know, if you have rude children, you'll know right away when the saints come into your home. You know, you'll have to take, you know, your children will be better if you open your home. So I'm just very much encouraged with all the consecrations. You know, again, we consecrate ourselves. May this really be a new beginning for the church here.
Amen.
Through each and every one of us.
Amen. Make it a third Downtown House.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I'll be the first one.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. The word of God is living. Amen. And he is a living God. And his message is living. And I can personally relate to Brother Andrew Yu's sharings, because I am from Shanghai. I was born in Shanghai, and I was there when I was 12 years old, and I moved to the United States. And then I got 85% Americanized. So when Brother Yu... So when Brother Yu talked about security, privacy, individual freedom, and that struck my heart, because that's me. And you know, after so many years, I locked myself into this little castle that I created. After so many years that I got saved, I started to only enjoy to stay with the brothers and sisters. And when new believers, you know, I become shy, and I become shy that I kind of feel afraid to talk to new believers. I always think, oh, that's my brothers and sisters' specialties. Maybe I don't have this kind of specialties. But today I like to say I want the Lord to change me, change my heart, and bring me to a newer and a higher level. And I like to share that my wife and I, we recently, with the assistance of a large amount of responsible mortgage, we purchased a home where we're going to move. They call it a Jewish side of Fresh Meadows. No, Lord, 10 years later, let's change it into Christian Fresh Meadows.
Amen.
Hey, Lord Jesus. And I invite brothers and sisters, let's actually not just be excited today, but carry this excitement on and on. And when we move in, we're going to invite brothers and sisters to knock on the doors, starting from the neighbors. We're going to change from one block to another block. We're going to preach the gospel to our neighborhood. And we're going to, hopefully, just like Shanghai, we're going to turn to New York City. Every subway station, we're going to have a home meeting.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Yeah. So I just...
Can you
wait a minute? Yeah. Just a few minutes.
Okay.
Yeah.
10 homes.
Yeah.
Now I have 4. Whose home are not opened yet?
Yeah.
Are willing to open in the coming year?
Mm-hmm.
Please stand up.
Yeah.
Otherwise, Brother Andrew won't come back.
Okay.
I'm using this as a leverage to pry open your house. To pry open your house. Anybody?
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. Frank's house. Yours is already open. You can sit down. No, not yet? Okay, opened up. Okay. I thought yours is open. Anybody else? No, it's here. Sorry. And we will go to Hangzhou to visit you, but not for this. Anybody else? Do you all have a home?
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
Who is living on the street? Anybody homeless here? No. New York City is a large small. Don't think your house has to be as large as Downtown House to become a Downtown House. Your one-bedroom apartment, even your studio, can open up for hospitality, for receiving saints, for home meetings, for shepherding, for love feasts, for any part of a church life. George, I'm looking at you. I'm waiting for you to stand up. Praise the Lord. This is your last chance. Kiss! Praise the Lord, Brother Kiss.
Yeah.
Amen. Anybody else? How many do we have now, Brother Andrew? Frank, count it. See if we have 10. Six plus the previous four. We have 10 now. So, Brother Andrew, you have to come back. Okay? My homework has been done. Amen.
Thank you. Okay, I remember everybody now.
Yeah, yeah. I just want to say one thing. That is, New York is the place most easy to preach the gospel.
Amen.
And so if you and me in New York don't preach the gospel, we'll miss miss this opportunity.
Amen.
Why? I travel many countries. Went to England and all the countries. Not one country is as easy as preach the gospel in New York. I just use one example. With the students and the serving ones, and I also joined them and to go to New York, Manhattan. And so that time we have a lot of people. So all our people just fill the three subway cars. And then I was in the first car, and I stood there, and there was a lady sat next to me. She had a very, very long face, very angry. I thought, because we all sing hymns in all the three cars, I thought she probably got offended. So I just tried to smile to her. But no use. He still has a long face. But one thing, I was surprised. At the time when she get off, want to go, she asked one sister, said, "Can you give me the copy of your song?" Amen. And that sister probably is very nervous. She gave her the But she gave the lady Spanish. and so that lady said, no, I want English. So that sister quickly looked for. At that time, the door almost fit close. And she used two hands to let the door would not close. And then, then she got the English. Then she still was a long face. And then, but she just took that, and she said to me, "Thank you very much," and left. And so what my point is, we should not pay attention to people's whether they have long face or angry, forget it. Don't worry. One thing we need to know, all people in New York, whether their attitude is good or not good, within their heart, they all have a need. They all know that they need something and they need the Lord Jesus. So if we don't use this good opportunity, then we are really, I don't know how to say, really, we miss the best, the what?
Opportunity,
right. So then we can use any time and any way to preach gospel in this city.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Saints, what a blessing this time has been.
Yes.
How about we conclude with some prayers for the churches going on? How about some of the brothers here in the front? You stand up, take the lead to pray. Let's just pray for the church for our going on. Amen. 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 Amen.
Praise you, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Praise
amen.
You for your speaking to us this weekend.
Amen.
Lord, before
amen.
We say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen to you placing us here in New York City.
Amen.
Amen for you being the unique need for each person in New York City.
Amen.
So we open ourselves to be channeled.
Amen.
We open our homes.
Amen.
So you can meet the need of everyone in the city.
Amen.
So we can meet your need corporately.
Amen.
Gain what you're after in New York City.
Amen. Amen.
Lord, gain what you're after in this city.
Amen.
Oh, thank you for speaking tonight.
Amen.
Thank you for burning in our hearts.
Amen.
We pray that you would operate in us.
Amen.
The willing and the working.
Amen.
Over these next many years.
Amen.
Oh, we want to grasp all the opportunities.
Amen.
Don't let any of this word drop.
Amen.
Oh, remind us again and again.
Amen.
Help us to replace our old habits.
Amen.
Oh, we want to be new and living.
Amen.
Not settled and occupied.
Amen.
Take us on, Lord.
Amen.
Take us on, Lord.
Amen.
Take the church in New York City on.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus, will give each member of the church in New York City to you.
Amen.
I'll give each one a new revival.
Amen.
Oh, bless all the opening homes.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Make this a wonderful beginning.
Amen.
We give ourselves to you.
Amen.
We give the whole church to you.
Amen.
Take us on.
Amen.
We have to follow in your leading.
Amen.
We really move here.
Amen.
Oh, according to your need.
Amen.
We give every saint to you.
Amen.
All the home.
Amen.
You have a way through us.
Amen.
Have your way through us.
Amen.
Church in New York City.
Amen.
All the saints for you.
Amen.
All the homes for you.
Amen.
Thank you for your intensified move.
Amen.
Oh, we want to move with you.
Amen.
Stepping stone.
Amen.
To move on.
Amen.
Bring us into your way.
Amen.
Oh, the carry out of the God ordained way.
Amen.
Lord, we open to you.
Amen.
Lord, flow through us.
Amen.
Learn the gospel.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
For, oh, Lord, for your testimony.
Amen.
Thank you for your speaking.
Amen.
We look to you to bring us on.
Amen.
Lord, thank you for our fresh new word.
Amen.
Oh, carry us on, Lord.
Amen.
For a new beginning.
Amen.
We want to be a stepstone.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Oh, make each of us.
Amen.
Oh, to be your church body.
Amen.
感谢你,
Amen.
看守看顾在纽约市的召会,
Amen.
这就是你的身体。主啊，好保守我们，让我们打开我们自己的家，让你进来，让你就是我们的家。
To you.
Amen.
We want to have a new beginning in New York City.
Amen.
We repent.
Amen.
We are content.
Amen.
We would go on.
Amen.
Go on in each one of us.
Amen.
Fully open to you.
Amen.
Hand would honor this word.
Amen. Lord, we praise you.
Amen.
We thank you for your mercy.
Amen.
For all these words.
Amen.
We pray that your hand would follow your word.
Amen.
Keep operating.
Amen.
In all the saints.
Amen.
Not only here in New York.
Amen.
But in the whole metropolitan area.
Amen.
All the churches in New Jersey.
Amen.
Throughout the Northeast.
Amen.
And to whomever these messages have gone.
Amen.
Operate in your recovery.
Amen.
Lord, gain what you desire in us.
Amen.
For your return.
Amen.
through the open homes,
Amen.
Through the functioning of all the saints.
Amen.
Build your body.
Amen.
Bring in the bride,
Amen.
So that you may return.
Amen.
We love you, Lord.
Amen.
We give ourselves to you again.
Amen.
Lord, we give ourselves to you again.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you for your faithfulness.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Lord, you will not let us go.
Amen.
Lord, you have a desire.
Amen.
Your heart's desire.
Amen.
Especially here in New York City.
Amen.
Lord, in the metropolitan area.
Amen.
The entire Northeast.
Amen.
Lord, we thank you for your speaking.
Amen.
Today's speaking.
Amen.
We pray that your hand would follow this speaking.
Amen. Amen. I hope that in all the opportunities that we will have this coming week or in the coming weeks, we would not let these words fall to the ground. We'd have a lot of fellowship, even how to apply, even checking with one another. You know, our brother mentioned these words, I think it was Saturday. Be prepared to be challenged and be prepared to be inspired. And I can testify I have been both. Challenged and inspired. I believe many of us would echo this word. So may we really have many transactions with the Lord in these coming days, personally and also with our companions, that the Lord could really work out what He has spoken to us. Amen. We trust the Lord for this in this year of advancement and enlargement. Even to the very end of this year, the Lord is fulfilling that word. And even we have a bright, bright feeling toward 2016,
Amen.
That the Lord will take us on even further.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Go ahead, brother.
For this coming Thanksgiving,
I think a lot of homes can open up to receive
yes.
students. And for those saints who have nowhere to go or have where to go, it's your home. So Thanksgiving is a good opportunity
That's right.
for homecoming. Because we are hoping and praying and witnessing a wave of a homecoming. So this coming Thanksgiving next week, there are so many opportunities for the saints to open your home, to invite the saints to your home, or you go to other saints' home. Either you open yours or you open others. So that this is the first one. So saints just
Amen.
Proactively
Amen.
Invite others and proactively being invited. Okay. Self invite yourself to others. So
right.
please, this coming week is very important.
Yeah.
And the next week, December 4th,
yeah.
5th, and 6th, even though we don't have a detailed schedule yet, but be prepared. Brother Cushing Lee and his wife are coming from Riverside. And that weekend, we'll focus on campus, gospel meeting, opening homes, and shepherding, and so on. So they become not only with this vision and a practice, but they're going to be very detailed, practical applications. I think in this 2 weeks, a 1-2 punch will knock your door down.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So better next week, start to practice. Practice open your homes.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. So not this coming weekend, which is the Thanksgiving weekend. That's when we have the conference in Jacksonville, Florida. But the weekend following, December 4, 5, 6. Please get yourself ready to be free for that fellowship.
Amen.
This weekend, the Thanksgiving weekend, as I mentioned, the conference is in Jacksonville. We will have the video meetings here, both here in this hall and in the Manhattan Hall. Here, we will begin Friday morning at 10 a.m. Friday morning at 10 a.m. will be the first meeting. In Manhattan, it will be Friday afternoon at 4 p.m. In Manhattan, we'll have 4 p.m. and the evening meeting. We'll have two sessions then. We'll put the schedule up on the website so that everybody can know. You can check there.
You know, I think this is also a good time for a new beginning related to the seven feasts. If we can't go, we can still get to the video. And I feel our attendance here in Jamaica has been too low, and the median age of those who come every time is over 60. That's not right. You should be here, either in Manhattan or here. You should be in the video. We have to. If we're not going on with the Lord's up-to-date speaking in the recovery according to these feasts, it's hard to have a new beginning. You just stay in your oldness all the time. So we need to participate. So try to arrange your schedule this weekend so that you could be here Friday or Saturday or both days, Lord's Day afternoon for sure, to participate in some of the video for this Thanksgiving weekend conference. I am looking to the Lord. This will really be a very special time. And of course, we'll hear a lot, I believe, about the refugee situation and the need for prayer and for giving and for going for that need. This was quite an impressive word about the human migration. This is probably the greatest, what did you say, Andrew? I agree. In human history. And Brother Andrew showed us some of the video clips, actually just from the news broadcasts. Many of you have seen them. It is very impressive what is happening. And the whole, this whole age group of Muslims is opening up. And I read something in the New York Times that in one congregation in Germany, they went from like 40 congregants to over 160 in 2 weeks when these people came. All Muslims got saved and were getting baptized and coming into the denomination there. So there's a lot of opening among these people. So we need to pray for them very much. And I think at this conference we'll hear some more. So anyway, this may be a new beginning for all of us. Amen. Okay, so we're dismissed and we'll...